Petersfield's Shine Radio.
You're listening to Shine Radio and Alan Kosh here this morning. And I have with me this morning our MP for East Hampshire, Mr. Damien Hinge. Good morning.
Good morning, Alan.
Your letter of resignation as a security minister to Boris Johnson recently made clear the importance of government or a leader are standards we uphold in public life and faith in our democracy. And because of the serious erosion in these, he should stand down as leader and prime minister. Now, the obvious question for me, therefore, is who, in your judgment, would you like to see as our next Prime Minister that will restore these standards?
Yeah, thank you, Alan. And it was one of the hardest decisions I ever made in my life to write that letter that you refer to, and I only did it with the very heaviest of hearts. I was doing an important job in government. It's a job I really found very rewarding as well and interesting. I very much enjoyed it, but more importantly, it had a lot of responsibility attached to it. And I was, I only made my resignation when I was sure that the transitions and the handovers and cover could be in place. It was, a very difficult decision and at a very difficult time in our politics, and a lot of people having to make that decision. We find ourselves now in a leadership contest. And it's right actually that we have to get this balance right between it happening quickly, because we want to be able to move on and there not to be any uncertainty, but also there needs to be proper debate and a full airing of candidates' positions and so on. And having got through the parliamentary stage of that, now the members of the party choose to the final two. Actually, I think they are two strong candidates, two good candidates. I have endorsed, I've given my backing to Rishi Sunak, because I think he's got the right blend of the experience, the character, and the vision to deal with this very difficult situation that we currently find ourselves in, but also how we build out of it and into the future.
And that's a very important thing to look forward to, I guess, for the Conservative Party. What are the key issues, do you think, Damien, a new Prime Minister has to address that, above all, would benefit significantly your constituents?
So, look, the number one issue at the moment is the cost of living. It's inflation, which, is caused by, mostly actually by global factors. It's a mixture of the hangover from COVID and supply chain disruption, and the Chinese zero COVID policy. A mixture of that and Russia's brutal invasion of Ukraine, that's affecting countries across the world. But dealing with that is the number one priority for the country, but also for us locally. There are some things, of course, that impact us more locally than other places, disproportionately, like fuel. Here most people have to have a car in order to be able to go to work and go about their business. So the cost of petrol at the pump is incredibly important. Likewise with heating oil, we've got more households off the gas grid, so heating oil becomes a very significant cost. But also, on the international field, it's really, really important that the world stays, that part of the world which has been united on this, stays united in standing up to Putin, because the threat to our collective security really cannot be understated.
Just going back to fuel, what do you think the government can do to help?
Well, there is there's a time-limited reduction in fuel duty that's happened, and we're also obviously very, very keen to make sure that when you do get something like that it absolutely gets passed on at the pump. And so the competition authorities have been ensuring that is the case. But ultimately we also need longer term solutions. We need to produce a lot of hydrocarbons ourselves, oil from the North Sea, and as time goes on, we need to have more and more electric vehicles. We know that anyway from the point of view of climate change. These are challenges, as I say, that are facing many, many countries, and it's really important that we have a determined drive on them.
Most of us talking about fuel, what's your view on fracking?
So fracking, or I think, or non-conventional gas, or non-conventional oil, as they call it, I think has a role in the energy mix of the United States. There was quite a lot produced. I think that the question has always been, well, first of all, you absolutely need to guarantee safety is number one. And then beyond that, the question has always been the balance between how much is there, available versus, you know, the cost of extracting it. And I'm no expert on that question. And I leave it to those that are.
You recently addressed a relaunch of what was an existing meeting of business people locally in the Petersphere, and there must have been several farmers in attendance, and as we know, they are finding things particularly tough. What, in your view, can the government, and indeed locally, we can do to support them?
Yeah, so farming is a really important part of our local economy, and in fact, as well as business meetings, I mean, I make a point of meeting with farmers regularly to hear, you know, to hear what's going on. And actually, you quite often find that depending on, you know, whether they're a dairy farmer or arable or whatever commodity it is, different parts of the market have different, have good years while others are having not so good years, and so on. And there's a mix of effects going on at the moment. So a lot of the input costs, and actually just input availabilities on things like fertilizer, making life very, very difficult. Some of the sales markets, though, are quite strong. So one has to distinguish between the short term and the medium term. But what's really, really important, and this was important even before these difficult circumstances were in place, but it's really, really important that we support quality British food. And, you know, our food standards are high here. Our farmers produce quality produce. And it's really important that we all get the message out, including government, that that's really worth having. It is worth a premium. And then also from the point of view of our food security, I think, again, the war in Ukraine has reminded us more than anything of the importance of food security. Now, as it turns out, of course, both Russia and Ukraine are enormous producers of wheat, and that's always been true, you know, throughout my lifetime. And you're always going to get some of that specialization. But it is really important that we also have a really strong and quite diversified domestic agricultural sector.
And you're right. I mean, we're particularly rich in Hampshire for farmers' market. I imagine it would help enormously if we bought more products from our farmers' markets in Hampshire.
Yeah.
Food banks in Hampshire have grown to an all-time high, unprecedented, really. What needs to be done to improve the situation, do you think?
Yeah, food banks do a really important job. And as you say, we have strong food banks with brilliant volunteers working at them in our area, including Petersfield and Alton. And I pay tribute to what they do. I mean, both in terms of providing food for people in great need, but also, and this is true of the food bank movement in general, also making sure that some surplus foods from particularly from supermarkets do get used rather than destroyed, and that's a good thing. But of course, we don't want people to be having to rely on food banks. The single most important thing, of course, is having a job. And the good news in the economic situation at the moment, and sometimes it's possible that we overlook good news, but there really is good news, and that is that we'd been projecting that unemployment was going to rise massively as a result of the coronavirus. And it didn't. It rose somewhat, but now it's right back down to close to historic lows. And so having a job is the single most important thing. The next most important thing, then, of course, is wages. And we do know, we've just been talking about it, haven't we, about the cost of living challenges that we've got at the moment. And that's why I think this package that government has put together to help particularly people on the lowest incomes, the most vulnerable, those in receipt of benefits, the £1,200.
Bearing in mind your ministerial job, which was security, as security minister, Would you like to go back to that position, bearing in mind that there was a lot of unfinished work you mentioned, keen to see through, such as in law, in particular the National Security Bill and so on?
I would love to go back to that role. It was a great privilege to work with the people I worked with, actually in the civil service, but also more widely in our defence and security people who do an amazing job. Of course I would. And you rightly mentioned important legislation going through Parliament at the moment. But these things are, of course, a decision for whoever will be the new Prime Minister.
Damien, thank you very much for taking time out for me this morning and talking to myself and our listeners, of course, here in Shine Radio. Thank you very much indeed.
Thank you. It's always a pleasure to be with Shine. Cheerio.
Many thanks.
The first ever Petersfield Walking Festival is approaching on foot.
This is Susie Wild. The Petersfield Walking Festival includes more than 40 guided walks around our area. And on the 27th of August, you can join me in my Labrador Rain for an easy walk from Sheet to Durley Marsh and then beside the river into Petersfield. Find information about all the walks, including Shine Radio's Wild Walk in aid of the Rosemary Foundation Hospice at Home, at petersfieldwalkingfestival.co.uk.
Support Petersfield's Shine Radio and the Rosemary Foundation in the Petersfield Walking Festival.
Dogs are welcome, and I hope to see you on Saturday, the 27th of August.